And how the bloody hell are ya? Episode number 155 of the Average Man Podcast. Let's go. That's the name of that track. That was a bit of a pumped up track. Not exactly how I'm feeling this morning, so I'm trying to give myself some energy to do this podcast with. Feeling a little bit lethargic on this Sunday morning. I am on day one of bachelor life. The family, just moved my microphone. What happened then? The family are, they flew down to Perth yesterday for the school holidays. So mum and the kids are down there for a couple of weeks. And yeah, I'm batching it up here on my own. So yeah, man, I've got all this time to myself and the world is my oyster. I wonder what I'm going to do. Yeah, no, not really. I know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to work. I'm going to go to bed early. I'm going to eat heaps of meat. I'm going to go to the gym. And that's probably about as exciting as it's going to get. I've got to double down on the old animal-based diet now that there's no people around to whinge about what we're eating. I'll cut the rice right out. We've been doing rice once or twice a week as well. I'm wondering if I'm going to be a bit better off without the rice. And I'll probably honestly eat my meatballs that I make like 80% of the time. I just I get like mince. I get the fatty mince, like 82% lean. So it's like, what is it? It's 18% fat mince, not the leaner stuff. It's like 10%. So I get the fattier mince. I'll put some salt on there. I put some parmesan cheese on there. And I turn them into big, thick meatballs. And I stick them in the air fryer and I cook them up. And then I have that with like avocado. And I've been doing avocado sandwich stacker pickles, the big long pickles, and some jalapenos. I do that and drizzle olive oil all over it and sprinkle parmesan on top of it. And it's delicious, man. It's so good. And I could eat that pretty much every day, but I obviously mix it up so that the wife doesn't get sick of it. We make other food for the kids as well. And I'm just going to really simplify it while no one's here, mate. So it's about as exciting as my bachelor life is going to get. Hopefully there's no more bloody egg shortages like we've had recently because of the damn grey nomads. I tell you what, man, it's really frustrating, hey? They come to town this time of year and like a swarm of locusts, you know? They just come through and they eat us out of house and bloody home. They smash the eggs and the fresh produce and all the water. They take unreasonably long periods of time standing in front of the meat section deciding on what meat they're going to friggin', you know, what they're going to stock up on and buy us out of as well. And it's just like, you got to get in there. They get in there at all weird times and shit. So you've got to try and be on the ball and get in there not long after the truck's rocked up so you can actually get some eggs for the week. It's bloody pissing me off. I just buy eggs every time I'm there now. I'm like, even if I've got a whole 12 pack at home, I just buy another pack of eggs in case I can't get them for 4 or 5 days. I don't know what I'd do without eggs, man. I absolutely love eggs. Every single morning I have either bacon and eggs or steak and eggs. It's so good. If you eat steak and eggs for breakfast, you just feel like you're doing something right. You just feel like you're doing something right with your life. You do. You really do. I had this morning, you would have seen that I posted it on Instagram. Steak, eggs, soda water, black coffee. My goodness. Breakfast at Kings, mate. You just feel like you're doing something right with your life. You know, even if you're not, just trick yourself. Start the day right with some steak and eggs and see how good you feel about yourself. It's the way to go, man. So hopefully no more egg shortages because the bloody grey nomad locusts eating us out of house and home. How insulting is it, right? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just sensitive. But how insulting is it, this is my point of view, when you're at the bottle shop and there's some out-of-towners in front of you And they go up there with six bottles of wine and a couple, you know, whatever else they wanted to get. Usually it's wine. They don't normally load up on beer because they've got nowhere to put it. But, you know, they can go up there with six bottles of wine and pull out their Eastern States or Perth addressed IDs and buy, you know, whatever they want. And then you are behind them and you go up and pull out your ID and you've got to make sure you've only got three bottles of wine, no more than one carton of full strength, one bottle of spirits, you know, you make sure you restrict the Headland locals from being able to buy as much alcohol they want as they want. And it's like, it's so ridiculous. Like, we know it's a thing. You always know it's a thing. So, and if you didn't know that, if you're in town, the people who don't live here, whose addresses say that they're from over east or down south, can buy as much alcohol as they want, like normal people, like normal humans, not normal adult humans can throughout the rest, you know, most places throughout the country. It's just us Headlanders, just us pieces of shit that live in Headland that aren't allowed to buy alcohol because, you know, we're a bunch of fucking mongrels. Bunch of mongrels who can't be trusted to buy more than three bottles of wine or two cartons of full strength. It's just us, mate. There's no one else that has that issue, apparently. And the whole thing's such a big bloody farce. It's like, you're just pieces of shit. You live in Headland. You can't be trusted to buy more than three bottles of wine or two cartons of full strength, you fucking low breeze. Oh, you're not a piece of shit? Really? Oh, why do you live in Headland then, huh? Huh? Tell me that. What are you running from? What are you here for? That's right, you're a low-breed piece of shit and you can only buy three bottles of wine. You fucking know it. You fucking know it. Like, what the fuck? Is that the message? Feels like that's the message. I don't know what else the message is. Oh, hang on. I do know what the message is. They are trying to hide the racism. The racist law that they're, regulation that they're actually enforcing, which is they're trying to stop Indigenous locals from buying more larger quantities of alcohol. But they can't say that. They can't say that. So they just use a broad brush and just say, no one who lives in Headland can buy more than three bottles of wine or two cartons of full strength or more than two bottles of spirits or even a litre of spirits. You can only buy 750ml bottles of spirits. Why? When have we ever been explained that to us, why we can't buy more alcohol? It's so weird. It's just a thing. It's like, nah, you're pieces of shit. It's like, we know what you're trying to do because we see it increased when there's a funeral in town, when there's an Indigenous funeral in or around town. They haven't done it a lot recently, but anyone who's lived here for long enough knows that they shut the bottle shops down. You hear about there's a big funeral in town or outside of town, and you go, oh, I better get to the bottle shop Friday afternoon because they're shutting the bottle shops this weekend because there's a funeral. It's like, it's so fucking on the nose what you're doing. It's racist as fuck. But you can't say it, so we all just like wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yeah, no, it's nothing to do with the Indigenous population. That's not why they're restricting alcohol. It's just all of us. Just anyone who lives in Headland for some unexplained reason can't fucking drink more than three, can't buy more than three bottles of wine. Like, what the fuck, man? So fucking random. And that we put up with it. It's just fucking ridiculous. And why? Why? Huh? You obviously need more police. How about police the town properly? How about spend more money on the resource that protects the bloody town, mate? Because, you know, they're a joke. They're not catching the people that are kids that are stealing cars and people are doing violent crimes around the place. It's like, it's a known thing. A couple of the lads from work were talking about a barbecue they were at the other night in South Headland, and some dude comes down off his head on gear or whatever and starts threatening to kill them all and he's going to kill the baby and all this kind of shit and booting the fence. And they called the cops, which I thought was ridiculous. I said, why didn't you go sort that bloke out instead of calling the cops? They called the cops, who took like an hour and a half to get there, and then they came up and said, it's all right, he's down at home now smoking some weed and chilling out. Like, what the fuck kind of useless police force is that? They're not up to the task of protecting people and equipment and property in this town. So they do shit like restrict alcohol sales and shut bottle shops down, which are already on super restricted hours, 12 till 7, 6 days a week, like fucking hard way to run a business. And yeah, and they're still not doing their fucking job here. Sorry if you're a cop in town or if you know cops in town, I'm not having a dig at them individually, but obviously there's a problem that the job isn't getting done properly. That's pretty hard to argue against that because the evidence is everywhere. Car theft, fucking sprees and all this sort of shit. Pretty shit house, man. But yeah, it's offensive to see someone from down south who can go and buy fucking whatever the hell they want from the bottle shop and just knowing that you can't because you're a low-breed Headlander. For fuck's sake. Not racist at all, though. It's nothing to do with that, is it? Jesus. Yeah, as if people from Perth are more responsible, you know what I mean? It's just, yeah. Yeah, no, they can buy whatever they want. On a positive note, the old Headland Hotel's starting to look the goods. I don't know if you've been past and had a look at that recently. I walk past to, you know, a few times a week, go past there with the dog and get a good look from the pathway there. And it's bloody looking the goods, mate. I've heard the rumour that maybe early August, August the 3rd, is the opening date. And it's looking like there'll be, I mean, I'm not sure what's happening inside, but as far as the outside, they look like they'll be ready in a month for sure. It's the 2nd of July today. They look like they'll be ready in a month. Hopefully that all goes ahead, man, and hopefully just hope it delivers. It looks good. It looks really good. I'm so happy they put a big chunk of grass out the front. I was hoping they'd put grass there. So if you know the Heady at all, you can't drive past the pub now or the tab now and go to the accommodation, drive around to the accommodation through the back, which is great. You don't need fucking traffic driving right past the tavern. So that section's all like grass and gardens and stuff now. So assumedly you'd be able to stand out there and have a drink. They've got some nice shade, like permanent shade structures set up and some pretty cool decor outside, a big decked area. Yeah, it looks really nice looking decor and a nice looking facade and everything on it. So hopefully they do it well inside. I'm assuming it will look the part. And just hope that they get some good staff, they can maintain some staff and they get some good beers and good wine and good food, mate. The food's not too bad there, but I really hope they up the ante and especially with the alcohol, sell some good beers and shit there, mate. And it becomes a spot that we can actually go and hang out and have a lunch on a Sunday or go down and have a drink on a Saturday night and have a nice place to go. It would be so, so beneficial to the town. You know, we were in Karratha a few weeks ago and just being able to go to, we went to the Grand Central Tab there, which is nothing special. It's just a sports bar in the middle of town and or off, you know, sports bar at one of the little shopping centres there and boulevards there, and it was just cool. It was like nice in there. You know, the food was actually shit, but they had good beers on tap. It was nice in there, and I'm like, you know, this is all we kind of need, man. Somewhere that you can actually hang out, not feel like a Darrow. The Esplanade's all right, but you know, it's one spot in the whole town. You know, and they got one decent beer on tap, so we can do better. We can do better. It looks bloody, it looks the part. Hope it's good. Hope it's open on time. I mean, I might be able to do my 40th down there, eh? 40th at the Heady. Have a bit of a lunch family day there and some friends and then kick on and hang out through the Arvo into the evening. That'd be bloody, bloody nice. So we'll see how that all goes, mate. I'm pretty keen to see that open up. Looks nice. It's worth walking past and having a look if you haven't already. Yeah. So I said, I was joking before saying I'm going to do bugger all except go to sleep early and eat more meat and do bugger all with my time as a bachelor, which is partially true, but I am going to Marble Bar Cup next weekend, and it's the first time I've ever been. So we've been in Headland. We moved to Headland for the first time in 2011. We were here for nearly 5 years. Then went down to Perth for 2 years, came back 2018, and I've been here for another 5 years now. And I've never been to the Marble Bar Cup. So, and I've always heard it's a great day, and looking forward to doing it this year. We're doing it with the social club through work, so we're getting a bus out there, like 28 of us, I think. Bus out there, on the beers all day, all paid for and everything. Tickets all paid for and through the club. And then the bus brings us home that night, so I'm not camping, which is mint. I would not want to be camping out there after drinking piss all day and worrying about all that bullshit. So really, really pretty excited about that. And obviously the missus and kids are away, so it would have been nice for my missus to experience a Marble Bar Cup as well while we're here. But, you know, at least I'm going to get down there and have a look, and I don't have to worry about you know, family missing out on family time over that weekend, or being a hungover, useless piece of shit the next day, because it'll just be me here. And there's a big UFC on as well, so which is pretty interesting. Big UFC, which is the Australian champ, Alexander Volkanovski, the featherweight champ, who just lost the lightweight, challenging the lightweight champion in probably a fight that a lot of people thought he won, very competitive fight, but retained his featherweight belt. He's gone back down to featherweight to fight the challenger, which is Yair Rodriguez. And that looks like a pretty interesting fight. The dude's on a real streak, he's got a real unconventional striking style, real flashy, a lot of kicks, very, very flash striking. And Volkanovski's just a complete little workhorse. He's a complete mixed martial artist. He's wrestling, he's jiu-jitsu, he's boxing, he's kickboxing, his timing, his distance, his cardio, everything is just on point. He's the guy that beat Max Holloway 3 times, who was considered the featherweight goat before that. So a very interesting fight. Hopefully he comes down, dominates the featherweight belt, and then can look at going back up to lightweight and have another crack at the title there, because I really think that he's got his future will be at lightweight. He's kind of too good for the featherweights. So that's going to be bloody interesting, and I'll be hungover as shit just sitting at home on my own. I'll be able to watch that, which will be good. Good fun. Yeah, so I'm expecting it to be bloody cold out at Marble Bar. I'm assuming it'll be nice and warm during the day, and then it'll get cold in the evening. We're leaving at about 6:30 anyway, so I probably won't have to worry about it too much. But thank fuck I'm not camping, because, oh, mate, it'd be bloody. I mean, I suppose you go out there camp. It's just that it's not the fact that I don't want to camp out there this time of year. It's the fact that I wouldn't be ready. Like, you can't go out there for a day of horse racing and be dressed for the races and stuff, and then transition into the evening and have your camp gear set up, and then you've got to transition into different warmer clothes. And I don't know, it just seems like a very mixed matched day doing that, you know. And you want to be dressed correctly when the cold weather kicks in, because I reckon it'd be pretty cold at Marble Bar this time of year, mate. And it gets, it was cold enough in Headland last night. I had the fire cranking around here, and if you're at home, and if you weren't around the fire, it was bloody cold, mate. And the hands were like icicles, you know? So cold. You know when it's super cold and you get the old shrinkage on the penis, especially when your hands are cold like that, you go for a piss, and the old fella's just like, whoosh, just sucked right up back up into the body. He's like, nah, not having a bar of that. It's a fucking funny organ, the penis, isn't it? Touch him with the old cold hands, and he just shrinks up, like it's like he shrugs his shoulders up and pulls his head back into his body, and all that extra skin on him when he's shriveled up like that. It's like it's almost like your penis has a wet, like a warm jacket on. You know, it's like the skin texture changes because there's so much extra skin when he's like basically halves his size, but the skin's still there. So it's like, it's just a completely different feeling thing when he's cold like that. It's like he's wearing a warm weather jacket, I reckon. Fucking strange organ, that one, the old penis, isn't it? Hey, he's a risk taker, hanging out there, not like the other organs. He's just hanging out there in the world, mate, just have a look around. You know, got a little bit of cloth protecting him from the elements. You know, and he hangs out with some interesting characters. His two best mates are nuts, and the neighbour's an arsehole. It's an interesting life being a penis, I reckon. Moving on from that. Anyway, you guys are bloody weird. The old arm I've been complaining about lately is finally starting to come good. A little bit sore today because I punched the bag at the gym for the first time in a few weeks yesterday, but that was worth it, man. I looked after it. I didn't go real hard with the left hand and the left hooks and stuff like that, which was doing a lot of damage to it previously, but so good to get a sweat on and do the – I think I did about 15 rounds on the bag yesterday because the wife and kids weren't here. I had nothing to rush home to. So I stayed down there and did my 10 rounds and then put the timer back on and just really slowed it down and practiced a bunch of footwork and different movements and different kicks and did some drills on the bag. And it was really good to not have to rush and feel so good after. It really is like therapy for me doing that, hitting the bag. So it was good to get back in and do that. And I've changed up the way I've been training because I had to have a break a week or two ago for a few days. Arm was just so bad. It was throbbing. It was so sore. The wrist, the forearm, right up to my shoulder, the whole thing. So I've kind of changed my idea on just lifting real heavy. I was just trying to put on as much muscle as I could because I just kind of fell in love with the idea of putting on more and more muscle because I'm the heaviest I've ever been right now. I'm at about 88 kilos, which is about 10 kilos heavier than what I have sat at for the previous 20 years of my life. So I was like, well, I'll just keep riding this train. I'm getting stronger. I'm putting on muscle. I'll see how far I can push that, especially because next year when we're traveling, I won't have a gym to work out in. So I'm assuming I'm going to lose a lot of that muscle mass and get leaner again. So I thought, fuck it, I'll just work hard and keep putting muscle on and see how far I can push it. But obviously, man, the elbow and the wrist and the shoulders, both shoulders, like everything's starting to really hurt. Legs are good, knees are good, lower back's good, but the shoulders and wrists and elbows were starting to be an issue. So I'm just backed right off and changed up my training tactics and going back to get just lower weight, higher reps, still getting a really good workout, but yeah. And it's funny because the residual strength is there. So what used to be quite heavy for me and I could only do 6 to 8 reps, and I'm now easily doing 8 to 10 or 12 reps of those same weights. So I'm lifting lighter, but only relatively speaking to what I have been lifting because I'm still lifting heavier than what my heaviest workouts would have been before. So it's pretty good. Good way to peel it back and give the shoulders and joints a bit of and elbows a bit of a chance to heal. And I'm still lifting relatively heavy on my legs. I'll just keep trying to put muscle on the legs anyway because that's actually finally starting to happen again for the first time in my life. And that's probably where most of the muscle's going to my legs because they're so stubborn. I got them black fella legs on me, mate, them skinny jinners. You know, they're good for running, good for kicking, just haven't been so good for putting on muscle. And I'm just been really stubborn about it lately, just the workouts I'm doing. I do legs twice a day. I split it up into quads and hammies essentially and just doggedly adding more weight and doing the workouts, doing the exercises that I typically haven't enjoyed doing in the past, deadlifts and heavy squats and Bulgarian split squats, leg presses, all the stuff you need to do, and just finding different ways to try and shock the quads and make them grow a bit. And it's finally starting to happen. Even the calves, I've traditionally had super skinny calves. Again, that's that black fella in me. That's the black fella calves I got on me. They're slowly starting to put muscle on. So I'm just going to keep running that, running that training theory for the rest of the year and ease up on the shoulders and arms and chest and back and all that stuff and give the upper body a bit of a chance to heal. Because that's the other thing as well. Like it's quite frustrating putting all that time and effort into your health in general, and then you're moving like a cripple, like an old man, and you're sore all the time. It's like I couldn't do normal things, like picking things up with my left arm. My whole wrist was so sore. Picking up a frying pan or anything, doing anything with my left hand was excruciating. I'm like, well, I'm not coming to the gym every single day to be crippled, to be useless. Like you expect a bit of wear and tear and a bit of pain that you work through when you work out consistently, but not like that. I was like, this is pointless. There's no point coming to the gym and being bloody useless. So time to change up the training and, look after my overall health, you know. I am looking forward to doing some earlier nights and getting up a bit earlier and getting an extra half an hour in the gym as well while the family's away, because I really kind of, especially in winter, I feel like it takes me – like I'm there for an hour, and by the end of the hour, I'm not finished. I don't feel like I'm finished my workout, but I've got to go. Because now it's cold. It can take me half an hour to really warm into it. So I'm going to get there half an hour earlier and do some lighter stuff and warm my body up and then hit the heavier workout for that second part, that last hour of the workout, and hopefully I'll get some good results doing that. Hey, something that I saw online this morning been kind of fucking with me a little bit today. There's this dude that I follow, Joe Lidner is his name. His Instagram page is called Joe Stetics, as in like aesthetics, Joe Stetics. Joe Stetics, his name's Joe Lidner though. And he's like a bodybuilder and health industry influencer. It's a tainted word, I know, but that's what he is. And the guy just died, man, at 30 years old. And I've been following him for a while, and you know, he's a really interesting guy. He's a German cat with this amazing body, this amazing physique. You might have seen him. He's got bleached blonde hair and normally a little goatee, and he does this thing with his, like, chest where he'd, like, move his fingers back and forth like he was, you know, I don't know, like playing guitar or whatever. And you'd see all the muscles and the striations in his chest, like going, they look like piano strings. It's quite amazing if you look it up, and Joe Statics or Joe Lindner, look him up on Instagram and have a look at the shit his physique and what he used to do. It's quite funny. But the guy was a really, by all accounts and how he comes across, was a really good dude, man, really positive. Obviously gave a fuck about helping people and inspiring people and putting a positive message out into the world. I've got heaps of training tips off his page over the last year or so, last couple of years, really. Not just some meathead bodybuilder, like a real big personality, a businessman in his own right. He's got his own clothing brand and a few other things he was doing on the side. Huge on social media. He had like 8 million followers, I think, on Instagram. Self-made guy. Just, again, real positive attitude and great training tips, and put a lot of constant content, really good content. He was living in Thailand with his girlfriend, who's a bodybuilder as well. She's a bodybuilder as well. Not like what you'd think of as a bodybuilder. She's just a fitness chick, I guess you'd call her. Little Thai girl. So he had this amazing life, real passion for life and fitness and everything. And he died at 30, mate, of an aneurysm. So his last post is like 3 days ago, and I read this morning he's dead. It's just one of those things that you're like, what the hell? Like, is this a hoax? Is this a prank? And like, go online and look into it, and you see all the people sending in tributes and confirmation of his death and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, holy shit, man. Like, that is terrifying. Someone young, so fit, super into his diet and health and fitness, and looks like an absolute picture of health, and has an aneurysm and just dies like that, you know, like, what the fuck, man, that's terrifying. And then the first thing people start saying is, oh, steroids. And yeah, he definitely used steroids. That the last post on there was about him comparing his pre-steroid and post-steroid physique. But I mean, I'm pretty sure he did it under the you know, advice and monitoring of doctors and stuff. He got his blood work and all that done quite often. And I don't think steroids give you an aneurysm. Like, it's a bit possibly something genetic, but also kind of terrifyingly, like, maybe something like vax related. Cause he's talked about that previously, about the vaccination he got and how it didn't, his blood was all weird afterwards cause he gets his blood work done regularly. And we all know stories of people, young, healthy people that have just dropped dead in the last 2 years, that really seems like it's something to do with the vaccination, and it just terrifies me. And I've heard those stories. We've all heard them. I know someone through, you know, like, you know, I won't go into it. We've all got a connection to someone that we know that's just dropped dead, and you're like, what the fuck? And it was like heart attack or aneurysm. And you're like, that's not fucking normal. We shouldn't know that many people, young, healthy people who had no prior indications, just dropping dead. But to see someone like that who I follow, I was just looking at his story 2 days ago, and he's now dead of an aneurysm. It's like, holy fuck, man. Like, what the fuck did we take, man? And I know I don't have any idea. I don't understand the science and what goes into it and if that's possible and all that kind of shit. And I'm not here to harp on about the vaccination and get into the debate about it, but it terrifies me, mate. That terrifies me. Like, what did we take? Something's not right. People are dying still, and I took the fucking thing. So, you know, just that fucking freaks me out. It's been fucking with my head a little bit today, to be honest with you. I'm trying to not think about it too much and look at some positive shit. It's weird. It's not like I know the guy, but I think it's just one of those things where you're following someone, there's no thought of death in your mind when you look at this guy whatsoever. He was like a beacon of life, right, and light. And then just pop up, bang, this guy's dead. Some random thing that you can't fucking help or pick or stop. It's like, jeez Louise, man. It fucking freaked me out a bit, eh? it's fucking weird. That was fucking with me. So anyway, trying to move on from that, not overthink it, think about it. Yeah, but there's a lot of fucking weird shit going on the last few years, man. That's all I'll say. Leave it at that. I tried out my new cigar last night. I'm still trying to get my head around where I sit as far as strength. I think I told you that I had one the other day that was like a medium to strong or whatever, and it was too strong for me. It made me fucking sick, and I could taste it the next morning and felt nauseous and shit. So like, I realized, okay, I'm not up to that standard yet. And the last two cigars I've had, I bought one here in town, which was kind of a cheap, shitty one. I was celebrating some good news on Wednesday or Thursday evening, so I bought a cigar and smoked it with a nice whiskey on the rocks, which was cool. But the cigar wasn't very nice. It was just fun smoking it. But the one I smoked last night, very, very smooth, but probably too smooth, probably not strong enough. There wasn't a lot of flavor to it. So I'm still trying to find that sweet spot where you get a nice flavor and it's worth smoking it, but it's not so strong that it fucking makes me nauseous or fucks me up. Still trying to figure it out, because I really want to advance my cigar game and get myself a humidor and then buy some in bulk. So when I figure out what I like, I want to buy like 10 in bulk and get them for cheaper and then stock them in the humidor and actually have a bit of a stockpile of cigars. I can bust them out of a weekend when I feel like it, which would be cool, man. I need to probably get a bit of my collection. If I'm going to do that, I need to get the collection built up before we hit the road at the end of the year, because I won't be able to afford to buy cigars when I'm got no job traveling around the country. So if I'm going to buy some cigars for special occasions and for weekend smoking, it's probably something I need to invest in this year and have my little humidor in the caravan in my bedside cupboard. There will be fucking quite nice to pull up somewhere in fucking Australia and have a little campfire outside, or just sit out under the awning and have a drink and crack out a cigar when the kids are in bed. I'm fucking looking forward to that. I mean, nice way to enjoy a drink and a chat with the missus over a cigar. So, yeah, moving forward with my cigar game at the moment. That's about it for me today, mate. Probably got not a lot to do this afternoon. We finally got the bloody car back. So for those that listen and follow along, my wife crashed the Ranger and the bloody pride and joy Ranger into the fence last year in November, right? Put a few dings down one side of it. So we launched our insurance claim that was approved, and then we were booked into Headland Panel and Paint for the works, and they got us in June, just gone. So like three or four weeks ago. So like 7 months or something it was to get the car in for the repairs, right? Which is already fucking mental. And then they said we'll have it for 10 to 14 working days, which is essentially 3 weeks, just under. And come to the end of the 14 working days, the Friday, and I called them up and said, how are we going with that car? And they said, oh, we've just started it. It'll be finished sort of sometime next week. This is what they said to me last week, early to mid next week. So I'm like, okay, so your 10 to 14 days means fucking nothing, because you're already past 14 days and you've just started it. And then it comes to Monday, no call, Tuesday, no call, Wednesday, I call them, say, how are we going with that car that's late? I didn't say that, but it is. And they're like, oh, yeah, we had an issue with the paint. We have to stand it back and go again. So we'll let you know. I'm like, great. It sounds awesome. Apparently they didn't go up high enough with the primer. And when the new guy sprayed the panel back in, the rear pillar back in, he sprayed too high up and the new paint went over the old gloss paint. And then when they buffed it, it peeled off and they had to sand it back and go again. Looks great now. But so then, yeah, they didn't end up calling us back on – didn't call us back. Ended up getting a text message on Friday, like an automated text message, right? Your vehicle's ready. Your vehicle rego, blah blah blah, is ready. Please organise to come pick the vehicle up at your earliest convenience. Something along those lines. I said, sweet, no worries. I had a bunch of meetings and shit on Friday morning, so I was waiting for my time to strike. And had to obviously organise to pick the missus up, go back in, pick the car up together. She drives her car home. I go back to work. Rocked up at the panel shop at 12:30, and it's closed. The gate's shut. And there's another car sitting in the driveway waiting. I went up to the other car. I said, hey, what's going on? Have you rung the guys here? She goes, oh, yeah, apparently they're out to lunch. I was like, what the fuck? So I called the number of the dude. He said, hey, just wondering what's going on at the panel shop. We're just out the front. We'll come to pick the vehicle up. He goes, oh, yeah, we're out for lunch. I was like, well, you got people at the shop, us and some other people here waiting to pick their vehicles up. He goes, yeah, but you didn't write back to the message. And I was like, the message? It was a automated message. He goes, yeah, I know, but you didn't write back. I was like, what? Why would I write back to an automated message? It didn't say anything about writing back and saying we were coming in. It just says pick up at our earliest convenience, man. Like, you don't write back to automated messages. You've got my number. You could have called me and told me I had to be there by a certain time. He goes, yeah, well, we normally close by 2 on a Friday anyway. And I was like, it's 12:30, man. So what does that mean? And he's like, yeah, well, we'll be back in an hour, all right? And like, okay, no worries, thanks. And he hangs up. I'm just like, fucking arrogant prick, man. You've had me car for 4 weeks, blown over 5 days over the already huge timeline. Like, why do you need my car for 3 weeks to do 2 days work on it? Why can't you send out a text message that says, your vehicle is parts have arrived or whatever. You're now in line. When we're ready to do your car, we'll send you a text message and you have to have the vehicle here within 24 hours or you lose your place in the line. How about that? And then when you're ready to work on someone's vehicle, you tell them, they bring it down, you work on it the next day, and then you pick it up when they're fucking when it's ready. It should take 5 days max, rather than just having it sitting in your fucking yard for 2.5 weeks before you even start it. People need fucking their cars to get around, to do stuff, to live. So you took fucking 4 weeks to fix it. Then you sent out a text message to come pick it up. Me and some other fucking client, customer, whatever, organised with our other significant other to go pick the other person up, drive them in there, only to rock up and your fucking gate shut at 12:30 in the middle of the fucking day because everyone's gone to lunch. And then you don't be fucking think it's a good idea to send someone back because you're only 10 minutes away. Obviously, you're in Port Hedland. To send someone back to fucking come and settle the bill and let people take their fucking cars home. So super fucking arrogant, man. Really, really shit service. And you know what's upsetting? No one gives a fuck. They don't give a fuck and there's nothing you can do about it. That's why they got a 7-month fucking wait because there's that much fucking work and not enough fucking people to do it so they can just take your car, sit on it till they're fucking ready, tell you a time limit, blow through the time limit, tell you to pick your car up, fuck off for lunch. Don't give a fuck. That's how you can run a business in this fucking town. And just the arrogance of the way the dude dealt with it was just like, and I was so polite the whole way fucking through, man. I did tell him I was pissed when I was sitting at the fucking front waiting for him and there was no one there. But that was the final straw after weeks of this bullshit. And it's like, just fuck, man. You're in an industry that you just don't have to give a fuck, do you? You just... People need to get their car fixed. You got a 7-month wait list. If you don't fucking like it, fuck off and take your car somewhere else. Shit fucking attitude. So, yeah, that's my fucking rant, mate. I had to do something to get that off my chest because that was fucking bullshit, man. And again, not like it's going to affect them. What are you going to do? Go somewhere else? Fucking good luck. You need your car done, you got to go to, especially since our insurance company told us to go there. That's who they fucking put us through to. So... Frustrating, man. I know you guys feel me if you live in this town. I know that you know what I'm talking about. There's those certain industries, basically the whole motor vehicle industry. Good luck getting someone to give a shit about your car when they're servicing it at one of the big shops anywhere in town. All they want to do is do planned services of new vehicles and fleet vehicles and stuff like that. You'd actually take it there with an issue. They just don't fucking want to know you, mate. It's too hard, basket. Dog's out there barking. I hope you guys can't hear that in the background. Anyway, that was my rant, mate. I'm going to go pull said car into yard now and reload the canopy back up, put the fridge back on, charge the battery up, and get on with my life. But I had to have a bit of a bitch and a rant about that because that pissed me off. All right, dudes, that is Average Man Podcast, episode number 155. Hey, I've got a quick bone to pick with you, motherfuckers. What's going on with the Instagram suggestions, mate? I've had like... 2 new Instagram follows since I threw out a call to arms. Come on, dudes, far out. I see the numbers. I know there's people listening to these damn things. Harass your mates. Tell them to fucking follow me. 10 of your mates to follow me on Instagram to say, no, if they say they don't want to, I don't want to hear it, mate. I don't want to fucking hear it. Go click follow on me fucking man's page. He's just an average bloke giving it his best fucking shot, and you're too good to give him a follow. Who the fuck do you think you are? Maybe don't say that. Just say, hey, go follow my mate on Average Man Podcast Instagram page, because you probably haven't even done that. Have ya? Have ya? You lazy bastards. That'd be good, dudes. I would love to see a fucking 100-person spike at least in my fucking Instagram follows over the next week. That'll mean that you guys are actually fucking going to bat for me. Come on, help me out, man. Come on, fucking let's do it. Average Man Podcast Army. Let's fucking do it, dudes. Anyway, that's all I got. Hope that was motivating. That was me. That used the last bit of my energy to try and motivate you fuckers then. All right, dudes, I'm going. Average Man Podcast episode number. Average band. Holy shit, I can't talk anymore. I'm going. I'm out. See ya. Peace.